Thank you for tuning in to the TGNA Strategic Plan Magazine. This is a series of four podcasts focusing on TGNA's four thematic areas. They are tax and international financial architecture, tax and investments, tax and natural resource governance, and lastly, tax and equity. In this episode, we will be talking about tax and international financial architecture. This is one of the focus areas for TGNA that dives deeper into fostering an inclusive and transparent global financial framework with a governance structure that curbs IFFs. It specially targets beneficial ownership, taxation of the digitized economy, and monitoring commercial illicit financial flows. Francis Kairu, the Tax and International Financial Architecture Lead at TGNA, joins us to unpack more. My name is Fiona Muthoni Naringwa.
My name is Francis Kairu, and I am a policy officer with Tax Justice Network. I focus on tax and the international financial architecture. And as we reflect about how Africa and globally, how the international financial architecture looks like right now, it is important to also just take a step back and think about how the international financial architecture was set up. Most African countries, because of the legacy of colonialism, have been reliant or found themselves working with the financial architectures of their previous colonial masters. And therefore, most countries within Africa today have their colonial masters to blame, or they owe their colonial masters how their current financial architecture looks like. And therefore, when you think about the laws that are in place to guide the financial architecture of most countries, it is mostly because of the colonial legacy. And secondly, if you look at the institutions, how the institutions were set up, the kind of regulations that those institutions work within, and even the organizational cultures of the main institutions that are responsible for the implementation of policies regarding the international financial architecture, then you automatically find yourself seeing almost things that are almost similar to what the biggest colonial masters they have or had before. And that comes with it a few complications. Number one, you find that most African countries are reliant on their former colonial masters, or on the big countries who are members of the G20 or the G7. They are reliant on them for purposes of, for example, them being able to move money. They are also reliant on them because the companies that invest in these countries are the companies that are probably domiciled in the biggest capitals of the world. So in London, in Paris, in the places where you would say those are the countries that had colonized Africa. And therefore, just being able to get that historical background is important for purposes of understanding how far and why the current system looks like the way it is. Additionally, the international financial architecture currently, as set up, has a number of qualities that make it harder, that make it more complicated, that make it not possible for certain types of countries to be able to work well with the financial architecture as is. And I will explain why. Most of the policies now that guide how the international financial architecture works are policies that were derived as countries were developing into countries. And this is post the period where these countries have been colonized. Additionally, it is important to see the financial architecture as a collection of rules, as a collection of laws, as a connection of institutions that operate at a national level, that operate at a regional level, and that operate at an international level. And then we ask ourselves the question, how are these laws put in place? How are these institutions put in place at all levels? How are the regulations? How are the players? How are the people who are involved in administering those laws even put into place? And I want to point out two things, that a country's financial architecture is influenced by two things. One, by the policy or the policies, and the policies include the laws, it includes the government policies, it includes any regulations and any institutions. And secondly, the external relations of one country and another. It is impossible for a country today to exist, conduct trade, move money, have other companies working in their countries without being part of the international financial architecture. The emerging globalization of trade, the emerging globalization of commerce, the fact that most companies today may be located in one country but working in multiple countries, makes it impossible for any country to have a financial architecture that is not influenced either positively or negatively by the international system. And therefore, the success of any country's financial system owes credence to how well the international financial architecture works for them. If it works to their detriment, then it will be very apparent. If it works to promote it, then it will be very apparent. And as it is today, globally, the financial system, the policies, the regulations, the institutions have a bigger domination of the global north to the detriment of the global south. And therefore, what we are currently involved in is finding that balance to allow the global south and the global north to work better for the better of both the global north and the global south.
I mean, Francis, from everything that you have just shared with us, it is evident that Africa is at a disadvantage. What policy shifts should be put in place? What is TGNA's five-year strategy?
TGNA's five-year strategy, or some of the things we will be focusing on. Number one is looking at global rule-making processes. How are rules that govern the international financial architecture negotiated? What is the role of African countries? How well are African countries consulted? How well are they involved? And when it comes to pushback, can, for example, African countries push back and say, these policies do not favor us for this reason or the other, without anticipating sanctions or trade policies that would divert trade from them for simply saying that these laws do not work for us? And therefore, we will be looking at helping to improve global rulemaking processes, lowering the dominance of the G20, the G7, the OECD, because currently as it is, global rulemaking processes are dominated by the OECD. Secondly, global rulemaking processes now favor what we can call destination country, when the money leaves developing countries and goes to the developed countries. We feel that this is being facilitated by the way the global rules on trade, for example, are fashion, and therefore we will be working on that as a major issue. But secondly, we are also currently promoting domestic resource mobilization as one of the ways through which African countries can be able to finance their development. And in order to enhance the domestic resource mobilization capability of African countries, number one, we are working with countries across Africa to look at ways through which illicit financial flows or IFFs can be curbed. But secondly, looking at, for example, how are tax incentives fashioned as we attract businesses to come and invest in our countries, as we offer tax incentives, how we fashion tax incentives is so crucial to the success of the domestic resource mobilization of countries. And therefore, we hope to continue working with countries to enhance the way they fashion tax incentives. Additionally, in enhancing the domestic resource mobilization of countries, we will be looking at other sources through which countries can be able to earn tax revenue. And therefore, digital taxation is going to be a crucial milestone for each country that wants to earn more revenue from the tax base within their country. And therefore, in promoting the domestic resource mobilization of our countries, we will be working with countries to think about digital taxation as a way through which they can be able to bolster revenue. Lastly, in terms of promoting transparency and accountability, in most countries across Africa, we will be working with countries, for example, to enhance beneficial ownership transparency, enhance contract transparency, enhance transparency when countries are dealing with multinational enterprises. And therefore, one of our key focus areas will be corporate transparency, focusing on beneficial ownership transparency, contract transparency, and how the activities of multinational enterprises are regulated across countries. Another area that we will be focusing on, thinking about the global financial architecture, is championing for a global tax body and a UN tax convention, because we believe that having a global tax body that has the legitimacy, that has the capability to enforce rules, that allows countries equal vote, would put the global financial architecture in a place that allows all countries, including African countries, to contribute towards the strengthening of the global financial architecture and ensuring that it works for everyone equally.
Thank you so much, Francis, for sharing that. Before we close, any last remarks, anything you'd like to share?
The Tax Justice Network is a network that brings together civil society organizations from across Africa. And our big vision is an Africa where domestic resource mobilization is one of the main ways through which development is financed. And we believe that civil society, governments, and different players have a role in working together, in working with us, to promote domestic resource mobilization as one of the main ways through which Africa can finance its development. And lastly, ensuring that the tax systems that we set up work not to punish the poor, but to ensure that everyone, regardless of their position in society, pays their fair amount of tax. Additionally, we want to call on all civil society organizations to join us on our call for a UN tax convention and a global tax body. And we believe that if we have a global tax body that will have the necessary legitimacy, that will allow the smallest countries to be able to participate in global rulemaking processes as well as the richest countries of the globe, a global tax board that can help us in the enforcement of global tax rules. We believe that we shall be taking a leap forward to creating a global tax and financial system that works for everyone.
Thank you for listening. Feel free to download the full strategic plan to learn more about the four thematic areas for TGNA. You can also visit our website, taxjusticeafrica.net, and connect with us on Twitter at taxjusticeafrica.